gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward.
Hello and welcome to Broken Glorious. I'm Chris Lappin. I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Drake Winter. How are you doing, Stephen and Drake?
I'm pretty good, thanks. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Yeah, it's a bit hot. Just a bit.
Still understatement.
What's that? Still a bit cloudy out, but it's muggy today. So it's, so huge thanks for joining us this evening. So I just wanted to, before we get into a bit about your career, I just want to know how long you've been a wrestling fan.
Well, I think like most people, like, I think the answer to that would be the majority of my life.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, I was actually the kid who sat there taking the piss out of my friends for watching it. Because, to me, I'd always sort of known, like, the nature of wrestling, and then it was just the one in the background saying, oh yeah, it's all, you know, what it is, you're all stupid for liking it, and then I ended up falling in love with it myself.
Yeah. And who were some of your favourite wrestlers growing up?
Undertaker, Kane, Stone Cold, you know, the usual answers.
Yeah. Yeah, so what prompted you to don the tights and get into the ring then?
Once I started really falling in love with wrestling sort of thing, like, it was always the sort of thing that just sort of, like, it kind of made sense for me to want to wrestle myself. Mm. And it's just something that sort of, once I decided that's what I wanted to do, it just sort of stuck. And then every year I didn't do it because I was too young to do it, it just... The desire to do it just got stronger and stronger, basically.
Cool. So tell us a bit about your training. Who trained you? Where did you train?
I started my training at AWW in Dudley under Tomcat Kevin O'Neill.
Yeah.
He's got about 20 years experience himself. And it took me about 2.5 years in the AWW Academy before I actually debuted on their shows. But, you know, they like to make sure that everybody's sort of ready and sort of refine anything that needs a bit of work. Hmm. You know, they won't try and rush anybody faster than they need to.
It mentions in your Twitter profile that you're training, like, Johnny Saint and Chris Hero as well. Do they just do seminars, or is it...?
Yeah, they've done seminars. They do seminars, sort of, every few sort of months at AWW, so I've managed to sort of learn under the likes of Johnny Saint, Chris Hero, James Mason, Johnny Kidd.
Wow.
So... A lot of big names that I've had the opportunity to learn under, so I'm quite happy about that.
What do you think of Johnny Saint becoming the general manager of NXT?
It's really good to see him get the recognition that he kind of... I mean, if he's one of the biggest names in wrestling, but sort of to the younger generations, they might not know who he is. So now they can sort of hear the name, go back, have a look at some of his matches, and it's kind of sort of breathing fresh life into sort of what he did, sort of things that the younger generations can learn, sort of appreciate what he did.
Yeah, definitely. So who were some of the wrestlers you wanted to base your style around when you started training?
Originally I wanted to be sort of very tech, sort of Daniel Bryan type stuff. That sort of style evolved as I started training and learning, sort of suited me better, and I became more sort of, it's hard to pinpoint, I'd say I kind of like to try and do a little bit of everything depending on what's needed at the time.
But
at the time, it was very sort of Daniel Bryan, Benoit, Bret Hart style technical wrestling that I wanted to do.
Yeah. Most people I ask go, I want to be Rey Mysterio, but within 10 minutes of starting, they're like, no, I can't be Rey Mysterio. So does AEW Academy run shows?
They used to run like academy shows and then have sort of the main shows as well, but they've stopped doing that now. It's just the main shows, so once you've... graduate from the academy, you're straight onto the main shows.
So I did see that you recently challenged for the AWW Academy Championship. So is that main part of the main brand now? Or was it?
Yeah, it used to be sort of only defended on the Academy Assault shows, is what they used to call it. Hmm. But then when the Academy Assault stopped happening, the Academy title was just sort of brought up and used on the main shows there.
So it's kind of like an intercontinental title, possibly. No.
Yeah, but it has occasionally sort of been the main event for some of the shows. So it all depends on where kind of like how the card's structured and where the matches need to be, sort of thing.
So what should people expect from an AWW show event?
We like to give a little bit of everything. You know, you have, you know, we've got people on the roster who work more of a brawling style, the high flyers, people who really specialise in the comedy style stuff. Kev's a big sort of believer in sort of old school storytelling aspect and that sort of thing. So the old, it's kind of a mismatch sort of thing of like the old school British style and the American style, and he kind of tries to work both of them together in the same way, and that's sort of what we try to accomplish on the shows.
Cool. So, tell us a bit about your current gimmick from the pictures I've seen. You're a bit Game of Thrones-y. So, am I getting that right vibe?
It's kind of, I never really planned a gimmick when it debuted. I just sort of decided, I kind of knew I was going to be a heel.
Yeah.
And sort of decided that I was just going to sort of see what sort of things happen. And I started getting more and more advice that I should try and go down the Game of Thrones route. So I had my gear redesigned, went from sort of blue to sort of blacks and greys sort of thing. And had this idea of sort of adopting a kind of, if anyone's played the PlayStation game, Horizon Zero Dawn, there's a character on there called Rust. I wanted to try and base my look on him, so I bought the cape.
Yeah.
But that was all I bought at the time, and then I bought the cape art, and I thought, you know what, this kind of is going down the Game of Thrones route, it's working, people are liking it, I'm going to stick with this and see where it goes, and I feel like that sort of made my gimmick sort of thing.
So did you want to be a heel, or did I kind of get put onto you?
I was told I was going to be a heel from the start, but it was kind of what I wanted to be, because you can have a lot more fun as a heel. Then every company I've worked for since then, apart from one, has made me a heel. And then I managed to dip my foot into sort of being a babyface this year.
Mm.
And so I've kind of been able to do that a little bit as well.
Well, the best characters start off as heel and as the fans turn on face, well, because I can't think many off the top of my head who started.
It is a good way to sort of see what you can do. You're allowed a lot more freedom, I feel like, as a heel.
Hey everybody, this is Steve Wilson, the man behind the monster Kongo Kong, and you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
Yeah, so take us back to your first match, and what do you remember about it, and in hindsight, do you think it was a good match? Or?
Well, my first match was a just a battle royal, so yeah. It didn't require much, it was just punches, kicks, try and throw people over the top rope, you know. I was in there with a lot of people who know what they're doing, so like, I was sort of guided around the match a lot. You know, people like the judge.
Yeah.
Umari was in there. People like that. I was just around people who know what they're doing. And, because I was so nervous and so new, it was a good opportunity to sort of see what they were doing and then see how they reacted to the crowd and try and learn from that.
What about your first single match?
That would have been the 2 months later, the next show we did was in a gauntlet match, and it started off with me and Harry Cruz. At the time, he was called Harry Shock.
Yeah.
And it was sort of one-on-one with the first two people in the match. I was the first one eliminated. We had maybe about 3 or 4 minutes to work.
Okay, yeah.
It was a sort of short burst sort of thing, so I could learn how to work off the crowd. It was a proper test for me, and I really felt that at the time.
Yeah, we're interviewing Harry Cruz on Thursday, I think. It's either Thursday or Friday. So it should be a fun chat. So I might try and bring it up. So who have been some of your favourite matches and promotions to work for in the last couple of years?
There's one opponent I always have what I feel like is my best matches.
Yeah.
That's somebody at AWW called Mickey Rowley.
Yeah.
Every time we go into the ring, we always seem to just knock it out of the park. Everyone loves the matches. One person actually said that a match we had 2 years ago was one of the best matches he's seen live, which we took as a, you know, he didn't know we were in the room at the time. He said it sort of other people, and we just sort of stopped what we were doing, looked around and thought, wow.
Yeah, that's great compliments.
That was huge praise. I've really enjoyed working with the judge. I got a chance to work with him on several match program last year.
Yeah.
And another opponent as well, Stephen Keane, also at AWW. I always seem to have, you know, good chemistry with him as well.
Yeah, and so what are some of your... Tell us about some of your debuts and certain promotions. And so you said you've worked for APW, EPW, LPW,
EPW I managed to sort of have one show with. I was in I think it was about a 20-person battle royal for the UKWA King of the Kingdom Championship.
Oh, yeah.
Managed to do that one. APW I started working for in late 2016.
Yeah.
I've been with them since then. working various different matches over there. And this year I've managed to debut for LPW and Mega Slam as well.
Yeah, I watched an 8-man tag from Mega Slam involving you. That was quite a fun match.
that was a fun one. I got a chance to work with people like CJ Banks and Styx and see sort of how they plan matches is very different to how someone like I would plan matches, because they're so much more experienced than I am.
Mm.
It's kind of interesting to see sort of how people at their level manage to do that.
Yeah. So who are some of the people on the bus you're seeing you want to face? So got a dream list.
I think El Ligero is probably right up there.
Yeah.
El Ligero is someone I really respect. He works his ass off. He's one of the hardest workers on the scene. I would love to work with Ligero. I would have put Johnny Storm on there, but I did get a chance to work with him quite recently as well. So probably Jody Flash as well.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
He's another one who got me into sort of introduced me to British wrestling. So
yeah, we interviewed him in October, I think. Really interesting guy. So what advice would you give to wrestlers who are just starting in the business?
Probably the most important advice I got when I was training is keep your mouth shut and keep your eyes and ears open.
Yeah.
Taking the advice from the people who've been there longer. Don't think you know it all, because there's a lot of people who do think they know it all. And just sort of just try and learn and adapt. And if you don't always get, you're not always going to get the best feedback from people, but as long as you take that feedback and try and use it in the future, then that's all you can ask for, really.
Yeah, and what was the best piece of advice anyone gave you when you started?
Probably that one, because when I started, I was kind of a nervous wreck. I was doubting myself a lot, and bad feedback really sent me into a sort of a spiral. And they sort of said, bad feedback, when someone gives you bad feedback, it's not to put you down, it's to try and help you to improve. And once I started changing my attitude towards bad feedback, that's when I started to really take that feedback and start to improve.
Yeah, I interviewed Eric Emanon from America, and he said the worst thing anyone could say to you is good job, mate, or good job.
Yeah, you don't learn anything.
So, how important is the advent of social media become to guys on the indie scene in the last couple of years?
It's definitely easy to get your name out there.
Yeah.
It's definitely easy to sort of, there's people in, for example, Scotland who have never seen me work, so I've never worked in Scotland, but they know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
So, people in America as well, I've never had a chance to work over there, but they know who I am. And it's kind of, it's good for sort of putting your name in people's minds and just in general getting your name out there.
Yeah, so where can listeners see you in the near future?
I've got a few debuts coming up. I don't know what I can necessarily talk about publicly yet, because I'd like to let the promoters announce me first before I start saying anything.
Yeah.
CWP have given me the okay to say I'll be working at CWP down in Southampton in November. And there's a couple of other things coming up, but I can't go into the details of that yet.
Yeah, we will retweet them as you put them. If you show us where they are,
as,
we'll retweet them.
As it gets
them.
Announced, I will post it everywhere, and then people will be able to see.
Do you know who you'll be facing in November?
There's going to be a rumble and possibly a match as well.
Excellent. How far in advance do you usually find out who you're facing?
It can be 2 months in advance, it can be on the day. I never knew who was wrestling at Mega Slam until I was there.
Wow. So how... Do you turn up like an hour beforehand? Do you just go through certain spots in the match, or just, I'm guessing you can't plan out a full match and that.
Well, depends on who I'm planning the match with. If it's someone who also knows what they're doing, they've also got experience, I can plan a match in 15 minutes.
Mm.
If it's someone who works a style I'm not too familiar with, or they're not that experienced themselves, it can take a bit longer. So it's about how well you know the person, how experienced you both feel that you are, and that sort of thing. So it really depends.
So before we go, do you want to promote your social media?
I'm on Twitter at BatBreakKid with an underscore between BatBreak and Kid. On Facebook, facebook.com/DragWinter. I've got a YouTube channel as well, which I don't know the link of because they don't let you customise it if you're under a certain amount of subscribers, but they've got matches on there. If you search DragWinter on YouTube, you'll be able to find it.
Yeah.
And on Instagram as well, at @the_back_break_kid.
And you have a merch store, I've seen?
There's a big Cartel store, or if people want to buy, because I've only got t-shirts at the moment, people can message me on Facebook and tell me what size they want, and I can sell it through there using PayPal.
Alright, cool. I'll link everything in the description below this interview. So I've really enjoyed speaking to you again. I'd love to have you on again in the future. So,
thanks, I'd enjoy that.
Yeah, that was cool. Great, thank you.
Sorry, I was a bit nervous about that.
That's okay.